Rewind and review with Wines Direct. Breaking the mold of traditional wine retailers with their own unique flair, genuine passion and enthusiasm. WinesDirect.ie. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.
And that signals the arrival of Lynn Berry, our movie and series reviewer, and teetotaler, ironically enough.
Ironically, yes, but there's chocolate today. So, I mean, where there's chocolate, there's Lynn.
Hello. And Gavin Keogh is here from Wines Direct as well. How are you, sir?
Do you know, Will, I'm great. It's been a fantastic week. So many things have happened that are hugely important in the world. First off, Ireland beat France in France. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more satisfying. Gareth and I were away in Paris and then on to Angers for a little bit of...
Oh, really?
For work. For work, yeah. So we were the people in an Irish bar. Well, we went to an Irish bar and there was playing Ed Sheeran music, so we decided we didn't need that. We went to a French bar to watch the match. And I tend to be quite vocal and articulate when something good happens. So I shouted something quite profound or full of profanities once Gibson Park went over the line, and then realised that I was the only one shouting in the pub at the television. So that was a wonderful moment to watch all of the French supporters in France not be very happy with me.
But look, spot the Irish man in Paris.
How are you? I'm Paddy. How are you getting on? Anyway, so that's
convincing.
That's been
that was
good.
Convincing.
Yeah, no, look, it's
how
been...
about we do a wine review with that accent? Now, that I would absolutely subscribe to.
The question is whether you were sitting in that bar with a glass of wine in the hand or a pint of Guinness.
I was sitting with a glass of wine. I was sitting with a glass and a beer. It was a
so
beer.
So you could have blended in.
I could have blended in. No, look, Irish people, you can always spot Irish people away. We look a little bit more red, a little bit more shell-shocked and looking around. And like, it's the whole kind of thing. You're walking down the street. How are you? How are you? How are you? How are you?
That's everybody. Uncultured swines, you know, complete, that we are.
Look, it was fantastic. But yeah, after that then got to go to Angers to go and visit a whole lot of producers at a wine fair. Really, really cool to see. And the evolution of winemaking, seeing second generations and third generations coming down. So look, it's been a great week as well for that. So that's been good. And that's where Gareth is at the moment. He's on his way back from the wine fair in Barcelona, which I didn't go to with him because I had to be here. You needed me.
Someone has to hold down the fort and all.
Hang on, I'm curious. Yeah. The wine fair.
Yes, so a wine fair. So think about all of the incredibly boring trade shows that you go to in your lifetime, where it's this, like, I've gone to one for packaging where it's, you know, people getting really excited by bubble wrap. You know, it's very, very odd. And it usually takes place in somewhere like Bedford or, you know, somewhere like that. Instead, these ones take place in what has been taken back, what was a Roman Catholic church and is now just a huge exhibition hall. And it's filled with people who have lots of alcohol.
Sampling it.
Sampling. I didn't have to drive anywhere, so I was very happy with this.
So it's the drunkest trade fair in the world, probably.
Usually in the afternoon, it does tend to get a little bit drunk, but it's very funny. Like a lot of professional tasting. So if there's, for example, the New Zealand Wine Fair that happens in November, restaurants show up to our portfolio tasting. It's very unacceptable if it's a professional one for anybody to get drunk.
Oh.
It's not accepted. Now, later on in the afternoon, you kind of see people stopping to spit wine and they're just... I might take that one home with me and that kind of stuff. But it's very interesting to see. But anyway, that's been my excitement.
Did you bring one of these back from there?
So no. The reason why I've done this is we have two events happening in this week. One is Pancake Tuesday, which is this Tuesday coming, as my son delightedly informed me yesterday and completely forgot about. The second one is Valentine's, and thou shalt bring something pink and bubbly home. So I thought we might kind of go with something. So Marseillais is our Prosecco that I'm going for, which is kind of a little bit sweet, goes really well with pancakes, and that's why I brought a little bit of chocolate, although people might have heard me rustling trying to open the packet here. And then the second I've brought is from Antesh, from Limoux down the south of France. This was for champagne concept was first invented. So the story goes that the monks who were making wine down the south of France in Limoux, Dom Perignon goes through in his carriage and the drunk monk has let something ferment a little bit too much, either in the barrel or in the bottle. Dom Perignon tastes it and goes, that's really interesting. What did he do? And goes all the way back to champagne, and that's how champagne was born.
No.
Yes. I am full of useless / useful information.
You're fun at parties.
Yes.
I bet you're fun at parties. I get that impression.
Sometimes I'm told I'm fun. Sometimes my wife tells me, oh, good God, please stop telling the same story again.
We have to bring you back the second time to apologise.
That has been said frequently about me, but howsomever. And then you, of course, have that lovely sound that you always have when it comes to something sparkling, which is...
Oh, yes.
Yes. But anyway, so that's that. So...
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to everybody. Good morning. I hope everybody's
Good
had a great morning.
So this is called once again?
So this is Marsre. So this is the Spumante. So now, here we go as well. So this has the champagne cork in it.
Thank
and
you.
The difference between this and the cork that has just the rope tie around it is excise duty. So your standard excise duty is €3.19 on a still bottle of wine. But because back when Ireland became a free state and all the rest of it, and you know, De Valera was making the constitution and these kind of things, an extra tax was put on something with the wire frame that's around. So that wire there around, so that is double duty. So that comes up to €7 something or six something. So there's double duty on that just because of the wire frame on it. And that was a tax against the English by the Irish back in the day. So that's what that was there for, which is a crazy thing.
Can we get rid of that?
But the reason why the cage is on it is because the bars of pressure. So your standard one with the little rope around it, that's up to about 2.5 bars of pressure. That will be to about 5 bars of pressure.
The thingy-majiggy itself is fine. Yeah. It's the tax.
Oh, now the tax is ridiculous. But it's the same as VRT on cars, which is an illegal tax, you know. On cars, but you know, the government gets so much out of it. There is so much taxation. So if you kind of think about this beautiful bottle of sparkling wine, before anything happens, before the juice goes into it, before the label goes onto it, before it gets transported over to Ireland, €6.50 in taxation plus 23% VAT on the top. Anyway, this is fantastic with pancakes. So for me in our house, I love Pancake Tuesday. We used to do this thing kind of years ago where myself and friends would all get together and make pancakes. Mm-hmm. And then we found out maybe 10 years ago that my wife is celiac. So that makes it much more difficult. Mm. So I would always make homemade pancakes. So I actually make quite good gluten-free pancakes. I know it doesn't sound like that should be a thing, but it is. If you get really good tritemal flour, you can make great pancakes. So we make great pancakes. We make them with chocolate buttons, white and milk chocolate buttons.
Okay.
Melt them over. And this, with a glass of this, is absolutely stunning.
Wow.
And after doing 20 million
pale.
For kids.
Oh,
yeah, it is.
It's quite pale. Like, it looks like water to me. Yeah. I picked that up accidentally.
Trust me.
But that's it.
It's not. I'm in love.
If the viewers could see your face, they'd be like, just sign me up. I'm taking a subscription to that stuff.
It's delectably sweet.
Absolutely. Ah. And it is that delectably sweet. So, you know, and this is kind of what you kind of, people kind of go, oh, I like sweet wines. I like, you know, dry wines. I like whatever. It's all about time and place. So for me, that is pancakes. And that is, it's now in my mind. It's now 8:00. They're gone to bed. I get to make pancakes for us.
They're gone to bed at 8?
The kids. Oh, yeah. No, 7 and 4. Maybe I've shouted at them because they haven't tidied the toy room and all the rest of it. And now they've gone up the stairs and one's crying and, you know, the usual kind of stuff of being an absolutely stellar parent. But they're gone to bed. And now you can open up this. But I do see that look in your face is the fear of a father whose children don't go to bed until later hours.
Granted, they are a little older, so 9 and 10.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's heading for 10 o'clock most nights by the time they're in bed.
I think that's quite average. I've had this conversation with my friends.
And we don't have to digress, do we?
No,
not at all.
There's a topic and a tangent, and I think we take the tangent.
Yeah, well, I was really interested because I know my husband is listening. So you're like, they're gone to bed and I am making the pancakes. So I'm real interested.
Yeah,
now.
No. pancakes and barbecuing are my two abilities, so to speak, when it comes to cooking and creating a mess in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Creating quite a large mess.
Oh, yeah. But, that goes without saying.
But no, pancakes, like that's, I've always enjoyed that. It's a great activity, and it's a great thing that we kind of do with the kids kind of throughout the year as well. But Pancake Tuesday is that one time when it's just a mass amount of pancakes. Now, for anybody who does make pancakes and you're trying to keep them warm, the easiest way to keep them warm is pot of water that's boiling, put a plate on top of it, throw the pancake on top, and then a tea towel on top. That will keep them fluffy and moist still.
Amazing tip, because in my previous life I was a baker.
Ah.
And so
you have
pancakes,
many different hats.
It's the ADHD. It's like, oh, I bet I can do that. Oh, look, I can. Okay, now I've mastered it. Now I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
And so I move on. That's what I do. I reinvent myself constantly. But Yeah, I didn't know that. And that's a really good thing because my kids are like 5 pancakes each type people.
Yeah.
Well, so by the time we have flipped 5 pancakes, half of them are cold and, you know, we can't sit down and have a pancake feast together because they're all ready at different times.
For the record, we've had 4 texts so far asking if you are happily married or would you be available?
I am very, very happily married. My beautiful wife Yvette and I met when I was 19 and she was 20. So I keep on telling her that she got
with the
younger
man. Toy boy.
I'm the toy boy. I'm the toy boy with the receding hairline and the 40-year-old gut. So, you know, I'm not exactly a keeper of any description. But no, I'm very happily married to the most wonderful woman in the world.
I love that. I love that.
As I hear my wife in the back of my head go,
yeah, no, but I get that.
Oh, like, no, that was the right answer. Trust me.
It seemed genuine, though. There was nothing disingenuous about that. No. And I love that. And I think we don't have enough of that.
No, and it leads us nicely on to love.
It does. One of my favourite subjects, because I, too, am very happily married and very much in love. So I'm a sucker for all that is celebrating love.
Well, let's have a listen to this short extract of Love on the Spectrum.
What do you think love is?
Love is a dagger, a pretty thing that enchants, but also hurts.
Why do you want to find love?
I have so much love to give.
When there's love, there is a right match. It feels like the slipper fits.
I really would like to have someone special with whom I can share the best moments of my life.
So, Love on the Spectrum. The spectrum being the autism spectrum?
Autism, yes, absolutely. Obviously, you've got people with different things. You have ADHD, ADHD, just ASD, OCD. Lots of things come up in it, you know, and it really does showcase the spectrum that it is.
But neurodiversity is something we're only starting to appreciate now.
Yes, and understand. Yes. Absolutely.
Thank God there's no such thing as normal, actually.
Yay. Yeah, what is that? How is that even definable? Because what's normal to you is certainly not normal to me.
No, we all have different values and different interests.
There's an expression that our old marketing manager, Laura, who's a good friend of ours, that I've always kind of said to her and said to our team, is that there's a corner of the internet for everyone. That's not a good thing. But to be honest with you, everybody is so different. And I think trying to conform and trying to, like, you know, I went to boarding school and there was kind of very much this kind of, you will be molded into this. Mm-hmm.
But it's round pegs into a square hole as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. You know, I'm on the spectrum myself. I have a profoundly autistic son. So I see both ends of the spectrum, you know.
So the question is how this series treats that. Does it try to sensationalise it, present it as here are some people at the extremes having extreme difficulty? Or does it do it in a celebratory way, a respectful way?
Oh, no, absolutely respectful. But I would say you kind of get to see organically a degree of all of that, you know, because some people do have a lot more difficulty than others. But the resounding thing for me, the serious thing that emerged constantly was just how uncomplicated, paradoxically, love is to them, you know, because whilst their brains and functionality to a degree can be quite complex, how they interact with each other with such truth. There's no mind games. There's no, you know, oh, I'll text you next week, and they don't text, you know. Rather they will call them and be like, hey, I liked our date, but I don't think I really like you that way, so I won't be seeing you again. And I think there's so much merit in that. Because there's no confusion. You know where you stand with somebody like that all of the time.
But you can have too much candor.
I suppose
this. Again, how do you, when it comes to neurodivergence, how do you even, like, where's the line then? Have we been conditioned to believe that truth is now, if you're truthful, you're rude in some cases, you know? And I struggle with that because I will say things and people think that I've been maybe very flippant about something, but if it's factual, do you know? I'm not one for comfort in conversation. So,
but there is also a reality that we have to accept. Invariably, you will offend somebody at some point.
Absolutely.
Even if your intentions are quite considerate.
Absolutely. And that's just the thing about being human, you know, because we all have biases, we all have trigger points, we all have things that make us uncomfortable. And so we can't really go around trying to navigate, I wonder what will make Will uncomfortable, so I better not say that.
But is it not the thing that we have been conditioned to be people pleasers?
Oh, absolutely.
And I suppose, and this is kind of talking from my own personal self, mm-hmm. of kind of many years of kind of trying to do the right thing by everybody. And yeah. again, as my long-suffering wife would say to me, you can't please everybody, but you have to have a justified belief in what you're doing, mm-hmm. and then, you know, commit to it. So that if you're going to do this, be happy in yourself that you're doing it, and understand yeah. that there are ramifications, that some people won't be happy with what you're doing,
yeah.
but as long as you're happy and it's the trail that you're going on, like you know, that
yeah,
of,
but if
that
I
goes
think
towards
if
kind of
that.
Choosing a car and or a shirt or like a job opportunity,
sure.
yeah.
not murder, but you know.
But even back to the idea of spectrum, in some presentations of ADHD, people pleasing is quite common.
Yeah.
Hugely so.
Yeah. But then we're talking about maybe a degree of masking and stuff like that as well, because you have to remember when it comes to people on the spectrum, well, like we show up and some people can just dissect body language in seconds and they realise what you'll need in that moment. And so rather than being themselves, they're just going to be the version that you need in that moment, because they really do work on that frequency. So there's so many variables. And I think Love on the Spectrum really showcases that incredibly well, because you've got one girl, Dani, who is, you know, she's 23, 24, but like typically she's like, how soon can I ask him if he wants to have sex? Do you know what I mean? And like, that's a very human thing to say.
So leaving aside it being a social exercise, does it make good television?
Oh my God, Will. I laughed, I cried, there's so much I took away from it. I think my husband absolutely loved it as well. Anyone I've recommended it to absolutely loved it. Now, there is this whole side of the internet that are maybe saying, listen, the music they used is quite condescending. You know, people are always going to find problems with stuff. I mean, would we have even seen something like this been made 10 years ago? So everything for me is progress in that regard. And anything that brings neurodivergence into any sort of social forum to be talked about is like A-OK in my book.
Where is it streaming?
Netflix.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And while on the subject of love, well, I'm loving this chocolate for one
thing. I haven't tried it.
So what I've actually brought you as chocolates, because we're trying something sweet, Anna Olivia, who's a chocolatier from the Midlands, we will sell her chocolate in our stores, we use them in our hampers as well. Absolutely stunning. So what you're actually eating is the Wally Bots chocolates. So these are about €4.55 in our stores. So both in Athlone and in Mullingar.
There's popping candy inside.
Yeah, there's popping candy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but it works really, really well.
Oh, my God.
And it's kind of any time that my kids come to the store, they buy it, they're like, oh, we want Wally Bots. I'm like, absolutely. Okay, fine, we got Wally Bots. I'm going to try and then to siphon two or three out for myself. What's also kind of quite good is for anybody who has celiac in the house, they're gluten-free as well.
Excellent.
So in terms then of love, so...
Hold that thought for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Hold that thought, because we have to take a quick pause.
Oh, okay.
But this will be the bottle that you want to come home with on absolutely. Valentine's Day.
Rewind and review with Wines Direct, celebrating the sheer joy that exceptional wine brings and its power to forge connections among people. WinesDirect.ie. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.
Yes, indeed, which we are. However, Valentine's night, so you're planning permission to enjoy a little bit more.
Absolutely. Valentine's night is coming on board. And look, as any Irish male will say, or anybody in a relationship, it's important that you actually look up and look around and celebrate with your other half. And a lot of people say, oh, I'm not really into Valentine's Day. We're not into Valentine's Day. One of you is a little bit more into Valentine's Day than the other. And if
there
you say that you're not into Valentine's Day, then the other one is, and you need to be a little bit more into Valentine's Day. You need to make the effort. I think kind of, look, with any relationship, it's about showing the other half that you care. It doesn't have to be jewellery or a car or a holiday. And sometimes it's just very simple. So this is something simple. So we talked about kind of where champagne concept came from by the drunken monk in the south of France. So this is from an area called Limoux, and this is Crémant de Limoux. So this is made the same way of champagne. So within France, you're going to have lots and lots of things that are called Crémant. Previously would have been called Method Champenoise, but the Champagne Association made the use of that phrase legal. Cava is made in the same method, and it's technically known as the Champagne Method, but it's two fermentations in a bottle, and it tends to be a lot cheaper. So a really good cava, a really good Crémant, is way better than a bad champagne. So that's what you have here. So this is $28.50 in our Mullingar store and in our Athlone store. It's Crema de Limo and it's pink. And this one in particular is called The Emotion, and it is pink. Now, how it is made pink? People are just going to go, "Oh, pink grapes. How does this work?" In a lot of cases, when champagne is made or Prosecco is made or anything, it could be black grapes, like, you know, the dark grapes like Pinot Noir or something. They're pressed, but they have no skin contact. That's where color comes from. When you have your first fermentation, the bottle is upside down, there's a cork on, or there's a cap on it. You disgorge that out to get the yeast out of it, and you drop a little bit of red wine in. So usually a little bit of Merlot or Pinot Noir is just in for colouring. So that gives it a little blush. So that's how you have. And look, for me, I always kind of think, you know, pink bubbles, always celebration. Nobody ever drinks a glass of bubbles and goes, "I'm very angry."
Yeah.
"I'm very, very angry." Nobody ever does that. But
and
I think
it's
kind
so
of,
pretty in the glass.
It is. But we drink and we eat with our eyes.
Yeah, you know? I agree. Like, yeah. I would pick that up.
Yeah.
Looking at the two together, I would definitely pick that up. It just seems more bougie.
Yes, yeah, it is. It's celebration. Yeah. And for me, it's lots of strawberries or it's happening there. It's all that kind of stuff. I don't think it goes as well with this chocolate as the Prosecco goes.
Okay.
But I actually think that kind of, you know, now I'm also more of a savoury person, so we would have the likes of, we have in our stores, we actually have tortilla chips and a dip. So there's a salsa dip. It's absolutely amazing that kind of goes with something like that. I'm a fan of what I describe as island drinking. That's drinking at the island. You know,
in the kitchen. I'm like, I have you in Hawaii.
Yeah. Oh no, no,
you know what I mean?
What's your island drink? You know, it's the sitting around, and it's I suppose kind of this is, you know, a bottle of, like this is to be shared and it's to be enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Now the other side, just when it kind of take into account of people who have partners who would like to have a glass of something sparkling, but they don't drink themselves or vice versa, or what's going on. So you don't drink, but if your other half did. We sell half bottles of champagne in our stores as well. And this is the greatest tool that I've ever learned.
Clever.
Because it's about the same price as buying a bottle of Prosecco. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to drink the full bottle of Prosecco. You don't want to. And actually, it's about two and a half bit glasses of something, but it's better. And I know, again, for us at home, small children, sometimes we would like to have a nice drink of something. And, you know, you can have, how often have you had the bottle of champagne that's been sitting there? And you're like, I'm going to open that at some stage.
Mm.
And you don't, because...
Yeah, your special occasion never comes.
Yeah,
exactly. And
yeah,
it just gathers dust. Whereas actually the half bottle of champagne is just kind of like, it's not really a special occasion.
But I won't be wasting it.
But
anything.
I'm not going to waste this. And
yeah,
it's actually not as expensive as the full bottle of... Actually, it's the same price as a bottle of Prosecco. Clever. And I'd open that on a Tuesday, and a wet Tuesday. In
there
February.
You go.
A couple of people are asking, what is the difference between the champagne, you know, official label...
Oh, yeah, yes.
And what we've got here, other than geography?
Geography and money. Mm. So, yes, look, it really comes down to geography. Like, if you look in Ireland, for example, the Blanc can only be made in Waterford.
Mm.
That is a regional, and that is protected. AOC Champagne is a protected region, which means that they have to follow certain rules. One, you are within the boundaries of... Number two, you use certain grape varietals. Number three, you ferment in the bottle, and then, you know, you have two fermentations. That is kind of, so you follow a particular set of rules. Now, the great thing about all of this is that the world is changing. Climate is making this difference. You know, Bordeaux, lots of producers in Bordeaux, for example, are trying out using Chardonnay, which is illegal to grow under AOC rules, so the Appellation Contrôlée rules in Bordeaux. But they're kind of going, okay, we will classify our wine as Vin de France, but this is Chardonnay from Bordeaux, Vin de France, but it's really good because it grows really well here. So this is kind of starting to happen. But look, I always kind of think when I talk to people about this is, think about any city. So I always look at, you know, Merrion Square in Dublin 2 and Gardiner Square in Dublin 1. And people may not, I would have spent a bit of time living in Dublin. And Merrion Square, everything is really polished. Everything is so varied. And Gardiner Square, well, it's north side of the city centre. It's not as polished, but you have the same beautiful architectural houses. The difference? Postcode. North and south of Liffey. That's all that it is. And the one in Merrion Square will go for a couple of million more than what we'll go for in Gardiner Square. But that's kind of all that it is. It is postcode of where it's made. Now, the reason of why champagne is made where it's made is because back in the day when the exploration into winemaking was happening, a lot of the time they were monks that were doing this, the same in Burgundy, same around the world. They found particular parcels of land where actually this grape varietal goes really well in this soil at this aspect. And people kind of go, how did the monks ever find out how this worked? The reason, There was nobody to tell them to go home. They didn't have to go anywhere. They could spend their time fully dedicated towards finding this kind of stuff out. And that's kind of what they did. And thank God they did, because we have kind of great wines as well to
go with
it.
And the Pope recently said wine was a gift from God, didn't he?
He did. Mm. He did indeed. And I thought that was kind of, that's what that was kind of like, yeah, I'll take that.
That was a great marketing slogan.
Absolutely. I'm just going to get it, you know, that and kind of the win from France is going to get tattooed on my arm as well, you know, when we're finished here today.
I'll give you one more. So with this bottle,
yes.
If you want your south side taste for north side prices...
Exactly.
What's it called?
So this is Cremant de Limoux from Antesh is the name of the property. And it's the emotion that we've gone for, which is the pink. So that is for Valentine's Day. But for Pancake Tuesday, it is the Marseillais Spumante. So the Spumante means that it is the sparkling with the wire cap on top of it as well.
Lynn, I apologise because there are many digressions. We didn't get to talk about anything else.
That's
tangents.
Okay.
Tangents.
I enjoyed every second.
But Love on the Spectrum, certainly worth a watch and plenty to wash it down with. Lynn mm-hmm. Berry. And Gavin Kill, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Will.
Now, that's where we leave it today. Sinead Hubble did it all, the hard work. We'll do it all over again tomorrow morning from 9. Bye-bye.
Rewind and review with Wines Direct. Redefining the wine retail experience with our witty charm and lively personalities. WinesDirect.ie. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.